الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم. We begin off by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with life so that we can see another day. Many are those who were with us yesterday and are not here today. Then we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with iman. Billions of people are walking on the face of the earth, but they have been deprived of this eternal bounty. The greatest asset a human being can ever possess, the greatest bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow upon us, is this bounty of iman. It becomes the differentiating factor between eternal success and eternal failure. After having thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman, we then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from amongst the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is our discussion today, respected friends. Do we realize what a privilege it is to be called a ummati of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was the greatest Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me take it a step further. He was the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't stop there. The entire universe and whatever it contains was created because of this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before Adam alayhi salatu was salam was even born, the nur of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already existed. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith, خُلِقْتُ وَآدَمُ بَيْنَ الرُّوحِ وَالْجَسَدِ. This is a personality that when his mother gave birth to him, there were no birth pangs, there was no dirt, but rather the entire room filled up with nur. This was such a personality that when he was born, the stars lowered towards the earth to indicate that now the zulmat and the darkness of kufr and shirk is going to be replaced with the nur of hidayat and iman. This was such a personality that upon his birth, a fire that was raging for 1,000 years in the Roman Empire was extinguished. Upon his birth, there was a tremor which destroyed the palace of the Kisra in Iran. It was an indication that the world was going to undergo a change. But it was an indication that the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was now going to grace the face of this universe. He was not only a prophet, he was the leader of the Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam, Sayyidul Mursaleen. But again, it does not stop there. He was the leader of the entire progeny of Adam alayhi salatu was salam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has so beautifully himself said, Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adam wa la fakhr, that I am the leader of the entire progeny of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. On the night of Mi'raj in Baytul Maqdis, when Musa was present, Isa was present, Ibrahim was present, the entire galaxy of the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam was present, whose hand does Jibreel Amin hold? None other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He tells him, you are Imamul Anbiya, you will perform the salah. Such a Nabi that when Isa alayhi salatu was salam will return to the earth, he won't return in his capacity as a Nabi. He will return in his capacity as the ummati of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such a Nabi that even those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the greatest atrocity that can be committed, the greatest act of injustice, even such people will be punished whilst Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in their midst. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not destroy them, will not punish them until and unless you are amongst them. Such a Nabi that on the plains of Mahshar,
When Adam, when Ibrahim, when Musa, when Isa, all will reply, Nafsi, Nafsi. This one personality will reply, Ya Rabbi, Ummati, Ummati, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we have that thirst, we're going to go to his pond. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. That maqam-e mahmood, that exalted station which every Nabi was desirous of. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? O Muhammad, it is yours for the taking. Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. Such a Nabi that not only do we send durood upon him, not only do the malaika send durood upon him, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although be it in a different way, sends durood and salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu wa taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahima wa ala ali Ibrahima, innaka hamid. It is this Nabi that will be holding the flag of the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when the entire creation will be gathered, it is this Nabi who will be the first to intercede. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, O Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak, you lift up your head and you tell me what you want and I will grant it to you. It is this Nabi who will carry the most honor on the day of Qiyamah. It is this Nabi who will be the first person to knock on the doors of Jannah so all the believers can enter into eternal bliss. It is this Nabi who has gone when no other human being, no other creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gone. At the time of Mi'raj, when they came to the Sidratul Muntaha, Jibreel Amin told him, I am the highest ranking of the angels, O Muhammad, but even I cannot go further. You go further. ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّى فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنِ أَوْ أَدْنَى. This was the final Nabi. He was a universal Nabi. He was the perfect role model. Or rather, he is the perfect role model. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. For you in my Habib is a beautiful example. You want a role model? You want a role model? Don't look at what's happening in Germany. Look at what's happening in the Quran. Look at what's happening in the seerah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What a beautiful example. If we are looking for a standard in anything, we will find it in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we are looking for shukr, then if we are looking for gratitude, this is that Nabi that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in the Quran, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. That, O Muhammad, forget the fact that you are sinless. Even your mistakes have been forgiven. Even after that, he stands up in salah at night until his mubarak feet start to swell. When Ma'isha Siddiqa radiallahu anha asks him that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is this? You are forgiven. He says, Afala akunu abdan shakura, that should I not be a grateful slave unto my Rabb? If you are looking for trustworthiness, then the very people who called him a kahin, they called him a sahir, they called him a majnoon, they called him everything. But these were the very people who left all their amanat and all their belongings in his company. So much so that when he had to make hijrah, he had to leave Ali radiallahu anhu behind to return all the amanat. If you are looking at forbearance, then this is the very Nabi that when the Bedouin came from behind and pulled the shawl and caused him a great degree of discomfort. He was the leader of Madinatul Munawwara, and he turned around and he smiled. He said, what do you want? He said, oh Muhammad, I want your shawl. We would have said, couldn't you ask for it? Or how dare you ask for it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled and said, take it. If you are looking for forgiveness, this is the man who was walking back from Taif with shoes filled with blood. And Jibreel Amin comes and tells him, you give the command, they will be destroyed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, no, I have hope that their progeny will be Muslims. This is the man, after 13 years of persecution, when he comes into Makkatul Mukarramah as a conqueror, he comes with his head lowered. When a Sahabi remarks that today is the day of revenge, he says, no, today is the day of mercy. If you want to know about the mercy of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then ask Wahshi, who mutilated the body of his uncle. Ask Ikrama, who was the son of Abu Jahl. Then we will get to know about the mercy of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We want to know about character. We are looking for a benchmark in the character. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. That, O Muhammad, you are upon an exalted character. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked that what was the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. He was the Qur'an exemplified. He was the walking Qur'an. If we are looking at mercy, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in the Qur'an with regards to his beloved, بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, that he is extremely merciful. He is extremely merciful towards the believers. If we want to look at mercy, then let us look at the riwayat of Muslim. One sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, they have persecuted us. They have tortured us. Make but dua for them. Pray for their destruction. But unlike Nuh, who prayed for the destruction of his people, رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا, unlike Musa alayhi salatu was salam, who finally made but dua for Firaun and for his destruction, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I was not sent to curse people. I was sent as rahmatul lil alameen. We want beauty. Look at what Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says. That those women who cut their fingers after being mesmerized by the beauty of Yusuf, if they had to see my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would cut their hearts. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu an so beautifully says it. He so beautifully says it. وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَطْتُ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ, that more beautiful than you, that my eyes have never set upon. More beautiful than you, more handsome than you, has a woman never ever given birth to. It is almost as if you had asked for your creation to be as per your own desire. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayhi has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made manifest to the ummah the full beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Had he made manifest to us the full beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would not be able to bear it. If we are looking for compassion, then look at how his servant of 10 years describes him. As Anas radiallahu anhu says, I was 10 years in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not once did he rebuke me. Not once did he say, oh Anas, why did you do this? Or oh Anas, why didn't you do that? How many of us can claim with regards to our own children, whom we love so much, that we have never, not even once, unjustifiably rebuked them? This was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's compassion. If we are looking for simplicity, then his wives explain, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do in the house? He used to mend his clothes. He used to sew his clothes. He used to do the work of the house as ordinary people used to do. Respected friends, there is no walk of life for which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a role model. You want to be a father, then be like the father of Fatima. You want to be a husband, then be like the husband of Aisha. You want to be a ruler, then be like the ruler of Madinatul Munawwara. If you want to be a shepherd, then be like the shepherd of Makkatul Mukarramah. If you want to be a trader, then be like the trader who traded his goods in Syria. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam single-handedly transformed the Arabian Peninsula in a span of 23 years from paganism and idolatry to the worship of one deity, from tribal quarrels and war to national solidarity and coercion, from drunkenness to piety, from lawlessness and anarchy to disciplined living, from bankruptcy to the height of moral standards. These very people who used to bury their own daughters alive, these very people became such that today when we take their name, we say, Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. This is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even his enemies, Al-Fadlu ma shahidat bihi al-a'da'u, even his enemies have to testify. One non-Muslim historian has written, if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astounding results were the three criteria of human genius, who can even dare to compare to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Such a creation that immediately after his own name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his name, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Adam alayhi salatu wa salam makes tawbah, he takes the name and he asks through the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him, "O Adam, how do you know of Muhammad?" He says, "I don't know Muhammad, but I know it is written on your arsh. I saw it. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Such a personality that if we don't believe in his nabihood, in his prophethood, then our iman is incomplete. Such a personality that if we obey him, then in reality we are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man yuti'i ar-rasula faqad ata'a Allah." That whoever follows Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then that person has followed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a riwayat of Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he nourishes you, and love me because Allah loves me. Loves me because Allah loves me. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس يجمعين. None of you is a true believer until he becomes more beloved, until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes more beloved to him than his parents, than his children, than the entire creation put together. Hazrat Umar says, "O Nabi of Allah, I love you more than everything except my life." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, "O Umar, you have not truly believed." Then Umar ponders and he asks himself, "Am I ready to sacrifice my life for Rasul?" And the answer is yes. Then he comes back and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, "O Muhammad, I love you more than my own life." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "O Umar, now you have become a complete believer." We need to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he loved us. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand the entire night in tahajjud salah, begging on behalf of his ummah, repeating the sentence of Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, "In tu'adhibhum fa innahum ibaduk, wa in taghfir lahum fa innaka antal azizul hakim." That, "Oh Allah, this ummah of mine, if you punish them, then you have the right, they are your slaves. But if you forgive them, then you are the mighty and the most wise." Entire night, a person whose mistakes have been forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he pleads on behalf of his ummah. At the time when his soul is being removed, "Inna fil mawti la sakaratun," Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is experiencing the pangs of death. He tells the malaika that, "Give me the pain, the collective pain of my entire ummah, so that I can experience it, they don't have to experience it." This is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have we started to imagine what a privilege it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us the ummatis of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You know, we need to love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how to love? We will learn from the Sahaba. Let me give you a few examples. During the battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was struck a blow on his Mubarak head. The iron helmet which he had, it had two rings which pierced his Mubarak cheeks. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu an, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he takes out the one ring using his teeth only and he loses his tooth. Without any hesitation whatsoever, he goes to the other ring and he loses his other tooth. Talha radiallahu an spares the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by putting his hand in front, putting his physical hand in front to take all the arrows, becoming a human shield so that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be spared. Khubayb radiallahu an, when he's about to be executed, his executioners ask him that, "Oh Khubayb, do you wish that Muhammad was in your place now?" He says, "I do not even wish for a thorn to prick the feet of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu an was captured and he was sold as a slave in Makkatul Mukarrama. Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha bought him, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she gave him as a gift to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His father was always anxious, "What happened to my son?" So one day some of his tribesmen came to perform Hajj and they saw Zayd bin Haritha there. So they came back to the father and they told him, "Your son is in Makkah, he has been sold as a slave." So the father and the uncle gather enough money to come and buy his freedom. When they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells them, I leave the choice with Zayd. If he wants to go, he can go for free, you keep your money. But if he wants to stay, you allow him to stay. Zayd said that, how can I prefer anyone else besides you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? You are everything to me, including my father and my uncle. His uncle is spellbound. He tells him, oh Zayd, do you prefer the life of slavery over the life in which you will have the privilege of being with your father, your mother, your uncle, and your entire family? He says, and listen to his words, respected friends, verily I see something in my master that makes me prefer him to everybody and everything in the entire world. It's easy for us to claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's judge our love according to the love of the Sahaba. At the time of Hudaybiyah, the Muslims are halted outside Makkatul Mukarramah. They are prevented from making Umrah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sends his son-in-law, Uthman bin Affan, to go and negotiate with the mushrikeen. He comes and he's going to spend the night at the residence of his cousin. And the next day they're going for this very important meeting. If the talks fail, it could result in war. So his cousin looks at him and he sees that his trousers are nisfu saq, halfway between the knees and the ankles. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To have it above the ankles is permissible, below the ankles impermissible. So his cousin tells him, look, in the eyes of the leaders of the Quraysh, to have your trouser or your lungi so high, it is a sign of disrespect. So just for the meeting, it is permissible for you to lower it slightly, keep it above the ankles, but just for the duration of the meeting, lower your trousers. It's a very important meeting. Uthman bin Affan says, this is how the trouser of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is, and this is how my trouser is going to remain. This is true love. Hudhayfa bin Yaman radiallahu an is about to be part of that entourage who are going to conquer Iran. The king, the Kisra, calls them for negotiations. Now, as is customary, before the negotiations, they feed them. Now, whilst he is eating, one morsel of food falls onto the floor. Now, it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you pick it up and you eat it. If it's dirty, you clean it and you eat it. So he is now taking his hand towards that morsel of food. The person next to him tells him, oh Huzaifa, that is very disrespectful in the eyes of Kisra and his followers. Let us embed his answer, his reply in gold, in our hearts. He said, أَأَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لِهَا أُولَٰئِ الْحُمَقَى. Must I leave the sunnah of my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for these foolish people? Let us ask ourselves this question. These very people who have mocked our Nabi, who have drawn cartoons of our Nabi, who do not recognize his value, have we not left his Mubarak lifestyle and adopted their lifestyle? We eat like them, we drink like them, we sleep like them, we talk like them, we dress like them, we work like them, we socialize like them, we even think like them. We have brought them into our houses. Juma Bayan, stringent timing, television viewing time, no limit. After Isha Bayan, time limit. After Isha World Cup match, absolutely no time limit. We have brought them into our houses. A major portion of our day is spent in listening to how they live, in watching how they think, and becoming like them. They have entered our subconscious. Is it not time? Is it not time that we realize that we have this honor? We have this honor of being the ummatis of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When are we going to acknowledge that honor? How unfortunate is that person who is dying of a sickness, but he has the tablets in his cupboard? How unfortunate is that person who is dying of thirst, but he has a glass of water in his hand? But respected friends, how unfortunate is that person who is the ummati of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yet he is following another lifestyle? Allah says, he is the most beloved to me, yet we leave his lifestyle and we are following somebody else's lifestyle. Are we not hypocritical? Let us look at our homes. Let us look at our dress code. Let us look at the way we eat. Let us look at the way we talk. Let us look at the way we do business. Let us look at the way we interact with one another. Whose tariqah are we following? Whose system are we following? Who are we out to please? Are we pleasing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Are we pleasing somebody else? You know, when whatever took place in America took place, The one advantage was that Islam became a household name. And therefore Islam is spreading like wildfire. The cartoons were something despicable, something nothing less than obscene. But the one advantage is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name has been propelled into the limelight. One analyst has written that I have never ever, not alone seen, but I have never ever come across any written document that states such a reaction over one person. Such a reaction. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been propelled into the limelight. But on the one hand we say that this man is forbearant. And then the non-Muslim sees a Muslim driving past and showing him the middle finger. We say this man is honest. And then we do them down in our business dealings. We say this man is pious. Then we are visiting the casinos and all the immoral places. Is this not a contradiction? It's time for us to practice upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, number one. And number two, we need to become walking ambassadors of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How did Islam spread throughout the four corners of the world? It was not through the sword, as the Orientalists would want us to believe. It was through the noble akhlaq of the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And the greatest front on which to propagate the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on the business front. They are not here today to listen to the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are not here to come and see how we perform salah, but they can see how we do business. They can see how we interact if we have a non-Muslim neighbor. And that, wallahi, that will be the result of them turning in favor of Islam. To a certain extent, the disadvantages that we have incurred upon ourselves is due to our own shortcomings. You can bluff people, but then you cannot continue to bluff them. If the Muslims had to uphold the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the globe and the world cannot remain bluffed for a long period. They will realize that these people are people of peace. These people are people of religion. These people are people who uphold a very high moral standard and a very high example. And that is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And lastly, but not least, if we want to propagate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we need to know his sunnah. We need to know his seerah. I can guarantee if I have to make a statement here that such and such football club is useless, they've achieved nothing, there'll be a line of people ready to rebut me. But if I have to say that, oh gathering of Muslimin, can anybody come up here without any preparation and speak for half an hour on the seerah, on the character, on the mubarak nature of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how many of us will be able to do it? We want to know, what must we do at night? If we don't watch TV, if we don't see the highlights, if we don't watch the latest game, what must we do at night? Let us pick up the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and let us study the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In conclusion, we need to become walking ummatis. We need to become walking ambassadors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I hope I have outlined what a great privilege it is to be an ummati. But on the day of Qiyamah, and I conclude with this hadith, certain of the ummatis will be walking towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The angels will come and take them away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will say, these are my ummatis. The angels will say, you do not know what they did after you. So let us not find ourselves in that situation. Let us take this privilege and capitalize upon it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aliven the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in ourselves, in our homes, in our communities, in our country, and in the ummah at large. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.